or tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, February the 17th, 2018, Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Dying to Self, the Secret of the Power of God.
Well, I just want to add to the offering prayer. If anybody doesn't have a church home, this is a good place to send your tithe. Okay? Because, like I say, they do a lot of good work here, and I don't know of a place in America where you can get more freedom. And I tell people all the time, every time you come, you'll go home different. And if you'll come to all the camps in the next year, you won't even know yourself. Amen. I see, every time we come, I've been coming to all the camps for 20 years, and every time I go home, I'm different. I thank God for that. And I thank God for the deliverance that I've seen. I see people that come here, and then they come next time, and they're different, and they're different, and they're different, and they're different. Homes are restored. Marriages are healed. Praise God. Bless the Lord. Well, I didn't have a hard time getting here to Hot Springs, but I had a hard time getting from where I stayed to my car. It was rain, pouring down rain. I was like, the devil does not want this message. However it comes out, it'll be just a God thing, okay? Anyway, when I felt this message, I realized, hey, this really message was for me. Because, you know, we're all a work in progress. Do you know that? God says, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who's begun a good work in me will perform it into the day of the Lord Jesus. And deliverance is like peeling an onion. You get a layer peeled off, and then he'll show you something else. And I praise the Lord, since I've known about deliverance since 1972, I've gotten delivered, I think, every day. And you don't really, it's good to have a deliverance ministry because we have information that you may need. But deliverance is just James 4:7. Give yourself to God, number one. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Lorna and I were talking on the way down here. You can be as repentant as you know how to be, and there's still stuff God, you don't even know, you don't remember what you did. God doesn't show you. If God pulled up in 1 minute or 1 hour everything that you need to repent of, you'd pass out. Right? So would I. Amen? Well, bless the Lord. This message is not just for you, but it was for me. And the title of this message is Dying to Self, the Secret to Having Power with God. Amen? When I die, the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus comes through. Right? It's his character and nature, his love, his joy, his peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And, you know, there's meetings where people say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit just came on me and I couldn't control myself. Can I tell you that's not the Holy Spirit? Because the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Amen? So if you're laying on the floor acting like a sprayed cockroach, that's not the Holy Spirit. Have you ever lived in an apartment where you had cockroaches and you spray them and then they die and they have their little legs up in the air? This is a great group of ladies and just love you so much. And that's another prayer we pray, that every person here that comes will feel like they're loved, because we do love you. And I thank God for the prayer team. I tell you, I thank God for Randy came this morning, because he's on the normal prayer team. And we need a guy, because him and Callie, they were just giving your mother and father's blessing was so healing in people's lives.
Amen.
And so we're going to do that some more next time. Not tomorrow, but next camp. That's something we need to continue, because it was so healing. But anyway, Paul said, I die daily. So dying to self, positionally, we died at Calvary when Jesus died, but we have to appropriate that death moment by moment, put to death ourselves. Now, some of you have never heard die to yourself, but basically it's the same thing as dying to your flesh. And so Paul said, I die daily. He said, I buffet my body and make it my slave. Most of us are slaves to our body.
That's right.
I know I've been most of my life. And right now God's disciplining me for arm of the flesh. I've had a sore arm for 8 months. And I've been repenting of everything I know. And it's even better since I came to this camp, since I've had a few of you pray for me. But just keep praying, because I've repented of everything I know to repent of. But there's still, like I was telling Lorna coming in, there's still stuff I don't see. So praise God. Praise God for deliverance. And you know what? I praise God for discipline. Because He disciplines every son whom He loves. And when we don't repent, it opens the door to demons. The reason we have a demon is because of sin. And so when we let Christ live His life through us, it breaks the power of bondage in our lives. And so that should be an ongoing thing. Things that we walk in the Spirit, it says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do I walk in the Spirit? I stay dead. And when I kick the coffin off my cock, what do you call the thing you can bury it in? Casket? Oh, this is kind of about dying. I told my son one day, this is off the subject, but I told my son one day, I said, Kyle, I don't want to be buried in a graveyard. I want to be buried right out there in the land, right here on my land. I want to be buried. He said, well, Mom, I'd be afraid something dig you up. Anyway, God wants us to be people that are alive. Dying to your flesh doesn't mean you go commit suicide, because people that kill themselves, God says no murderer will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, some people say, oh, you know, I really believe that person went to the... And maybe you say so, but let me tell you something. The promises of God are the overcomer, not the overcome. Amen? And so... Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, do you think that's enough faith? When I say I don't have enough faith and I'm crucified with Christ, I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. It's the faith of Jesus, the character and nature of Jesus coming through. When there's sin in my life, I can tell you, you're in unbelief. Anyway, some of you have heard the term die to the flesh. Some of you have heard it and refused to do it, and others of us are working on it, okay? My little granddaughter, when she was about 3 years old, I'd call and I'd say, Holly, are you sucking your thumb? And she'd say, no. I'd say, Holly, liars go to hell. And I said, you're supposed to say, Grandmother, I'm working on it. So the next time I called, I said, Holly, are you still sucking your thumb? She said, Grandmother, I'm working on it. And her mother said, yes, she is working on it. Anyway, we need to die to the flesh so that the life of Christ would come through. My friend Jack Taylor said, Jesus wants to walk around in your body and act like who he is. And so I have to choose daily, moment by moment, to die to my flesh. And when a person dies, they no longer exist. So the essence of death is that there's no longer life. And so when I die spiritually, then I no longer exist. My problem is I've existed too much. Has that been your problem? And so we die to the flesh spiritually, or we die to ourselves spiritually, because we want the life of Christ to come through our life.
Amen.
And can I tell you, that's the only thing God will accept. Any works you do in the flesh, it's wood, hay, and stubble. The only thing that you can take to heaven with you is what you do when you're dead to your flesh, because it's Jesus coming through you. And so this is the way we have to live. And I was very convicted when I put together this message. But anyway, it's going to convict all of us. And so we die to our flesh spiritually because we want Christ to live through us. And so that means that self is no longer the reason for my existence. I exist to please God. And that should be the heart of every believer, that we don't live to please ourselves, but that we live to please God. So it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And we have to die to ourselves in order for Christ to live through us. We have to die to ourselves in order for the resurrected life, the dunamis power of the Lord Jesus to come through. There has to be the death and then the resurrection of His power coming through us. And we have to die to ourselves in order that we might live, really truly live. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, somebody read the first part somebody read 1 Corinthians chapter 4 before the verse 4:4. I meant to print that out and forgot. Who's got that? You have it, Carla?
What did you say?
Before 1 Corinthians 4:4, it says, you know, I was persecuted and beat down, but not forsaken. I was blah, 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 and not.
Oh, yeah.
Read that. Okay.
1 Corinthians?
Yeah, 4. It's above the verse. Well, start with 4:4 and see what that says. Okay, you read it.
Yeah,
thank you. Her Bible's got two little prints. I don't know how she reads it.
Mine is the NIV translation.
Who's got a New American Standard?
New American Standard.
What do you have? What do you have back there?
King
James. Okay, we'll read that. Real loud.
Okay, starting at 4:4.
Mm-hmm.
For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God.
Start where, can you see where it says we have this treasure in an earthen vessel?
For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, as if thou hadst not received it?
Second Corinthians.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, ma'am.
Sorry. That was a good word anyway.
Yeah, very good. Okay, 2 Corinthians.
4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we have, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Just stop right there. The treasure in earthen vessels is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Colossians 1 says, Christ in me is the hope of glory. But he's got to get out of here. And the only way he gets out is when I die spiritually to myself. Okay, Connie.
That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us.
Keep reading.
We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed.
Okay, how could Paul say that he was all of those things and it didn't get to him?
Jesus.
He goes on to say, and I'll read it, always caring about in my body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in my mortal flesh. In other words, that the life of Jesus might be brought manifested to view so people can see Jesus in me. If we say we love Jesus and we're not loving our neighbor as ourselves, then that's not letting Jesus come through, is it? And then it says, so death works in me and life in you. And I caution you, if you're sitting under a pastor that life's working in, he's working death in you. Well, so you have to be under a pastor that's, nobody's perfect, but a pastor who has learned about the crucified life, because it says, always, Paul said, always caring about in my body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in my mortal flesh, so death works in me and life in you. So if I stand up here and I'm in the flesh, I'm working death in you. But if I'm dead to myself, I'm working life in you. And I discovered that when life is working, people are not bored. You can see the excitement, how the air is charged with the electricity of the Holy Spirit just because people are excited about Jesus. And so the individual who dies to himself understands that God has a purpose and a plan to use him. Did you know that when God lets your father's sperm meet with your mother's egg to conceive you, God had a plan for your life? Did you know that? And so what are you doing with his plan? What are you running around doing? What are you spending all your time doing? Are you living for God? Are you living for the nasty now and now? And so Paul said, I'm persecuted but not struck down. I'm this, I'm that, but it's not getting to me because I am a living dead person. Amen? And it should be the heart of every believer to want to be used by God. I can think of nothing. It says in Ephesians, I believe it's Ephesians 2:10. It says, you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. So when you were conceived, God already had your works planned out. Are you fulfilling his works or yours? Jesus said, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And I believe the Bible teaches that only disciples get there. Jesus said, you'll know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. He says in Isaiah, he'll give you the tongue of a disciple that you might sustain the weary one with a word. And morning by morning, he wakes up your ears to listen as a disciple, and you will not be disobedient, nor will you turn back. So Jesus said in John 15, you'll so bear fruit and prove to be my disciple. He also said in John 15, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you produce much fruit. And abide means to stay under God's authority, which means that dead to your flesh. He also said in John 15, you're my friends if you do what I say. Well, how can I do what he says if I don't know what his word says? Is that right? He also said in John 15, you didn't choose me, I chose you, and the purpose is that you go bear fruit. That's the purpose of his saving you. And I just want us to pretend a minute. I'm going to pretend that you are a person that thinks that you're not adequately equipped. Or maybe you're a person that thinks, well, you know, I'm not smart enough. Or maybe you think, well, I'm not qualified. Or I'm just a zero, I'm worthless. I just really can't cut the mustard. I don't know. I'm just not cut out for this. You just think that you feel like that you're not qualified. Well, if you're dead to yourself, if this unqualified person is dead to himself, and Christ is living his life through me, is he qualified?
Yes.
Is he worth it all?
Yes.
Is he all power?
Yes.
All knowing?
Yes.
Does he equip you? I mean, he's equipped, right?
Yes.
So we need to get over this idea that we're not good enough, or we're not socially prominent enough, or we don't have enough money, or we can't do this, or we can't do that. We need to get over that, because he wants to empower us. And if he's not empowering us, your works are worthless. Just with hands stubble. And so when we bear fruit, then we're letting his life flow through us. John 15. The Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. And the Lord wants us to be people that are productive and fruitful people, fruitful Christians. John 12, 24, Jesus said, if you hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. You give up your life for his sake, you find it. You know, sometimes we think, oh boy, I don't want to die to myself because I'm really giving up my life. I'm giving up all this misery or all this whatever. But it's really when you really live. It's when you let go of your family and let go of everything. John 12 says, and it's really identifying this with us. But he says, unless John 12, 24. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, and that's us, it abides alone. You see the loneliness, the rejection? But if it dies, it produces much fruit, which is the character and nature of Jesus. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. You know, if you plant a grain of corn in the soil, that hard crust on the outside of the corn, the moisture in the soil will corrode the outer shell of the corn, and then the life in the corn springs forth. And it's the same with us. When we die to ourselves, then the life of Christ springs forth. And it's His character and nature. You know, sometimes we think, well, I've got to love. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I've got to believe this. I've got to do this. And it's really striving after the flesh. We just need to die. We have one thing to do, give up your life. And the rest, God does. Ephesians 4:22 says, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old man. That means the person that you were before you got saved, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the deceit, and put on the new self, the born again self, that has been created in righteousness and the holiness of truth. And so, what is self? It's the essence. It's essential. It's the essential part of you that distinguishes you from everybody else. It's really who you really are without Christ. So dying to self means I choose to put self off. I choose to go God's way. I choose His way over my way, His attitudes over my attitudes, His plan over my plan, His word over my word. And how do I know God's way if I'm not reading the Bible? So that's important. Otherwise, you know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they obey me and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger. The voice of a stranger is the voice of another. And God will never tell you anything that contradicts His word. That's why so many believers are so deceived by some of these fake revival meetings and these false prophets, because they don't know what God's word says. I'll just tell you one thing I've heard a false prophet say was at the end of the age, there's going to be this great revival for two-thirds of the earth will be saved. That's false. That's false. Jesus said there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. And let me tell you something. When you start dying to your flesh, you can say it's few, because most church members live after their flesh. Most of them, you can't tell them from the world. Is that right? And Lord, make us different, okay? Hebrews 12 says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Don't sit under teaching that teaches you that it's okay to have a little anger, and it's okay to have a little bitterness, and it's okay to have a live after your flesh because you're saved by grace. That's a false teaching. If you read in Titus 2, it says grace appeared, bringing salvation to all men, teaching us to live righteously, soberly, and righteously. Somebody read that for me. I don't. Who's got it? First, it's in Titus 2. Titus 2:12, and see what that says.
Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Amen. Now that's not talking to just preachers and ministers, is it? Is that for us? All of us? You know, some people think that we have to be holy, we have to keep a bunch of rules and regulations. Right? When God, and let me just explain it this way. If God's the potter, if you ever watched a potter do his pottery work, God's the potter and you're the clay. The potter does everything, right? The clay just sits on the potter's wheel, which is a picture of submission to God's lordship, right? That means to abide in Christ. It's when I'm on the potter's wheel that I'll produce fruit. And another way of saying it, die to your flesh, walk in the Spirit, present your body to God as a living sacrifice. And so so if you pictured the potter does all the work. In the olden days, they had to dig clay out of the ground. It had rocks and sticks and weeds in it. Nowadays, it's more modern clay, and they don't have to do that. But But if you pictured us as clay full of junk with the rocks and sticks and weeds, the potter's job is to take out the rocks, sticks, and weeds. Is that right? We don't take it out ourselves. All we do is die. And so in the Old Testament, God wouldn't take a sacrifice that was blind or defective. And so if you present your body to God as a living sacrifice on the potter's wheel, the clay does one thing, and that's yield to the potter, right? That's all we do is stay yielded. He does the rest. The potter takes the junk out. He turns the potter's wheel. He molds the clay, fashions the clay, beats the bubbles out. And if you're like me, you're getting your bubbles beat out in the barn. I was climbing a fence eight months ago, and when I go walking, I would climb over my fence. And so I hurt my arm. And so because I usually spring back real quick, I just kept on climbing the fence with this arm. And then, you know, I thought, well, it's an arm injury. But after 8 months, I'm saying, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me here? And he's told me a lot, believe me. I saw a lot of stuff that was buried down there that I didn't see. I knew that pain is rooted in vexation. And I knew that there was vexation, but I couldn't get the connection between arm vexation and vexation because I've forgiven everybody. And I thought, you know, but then God showed me how I was getting angry at these politicians, these crooked politicians. And I was being vexed by the news media, right? There's the vexation. And I was trying to help the president by emailing him. And really, basically, God showed me I was trusting the president rather than God. Idolatry. I mean, he showed me so much. Now when I see Nancy Pelosi on TV, I just say, devil, get your hands off her. And I claim Job 22, and I ask you to save her, Lord. And I forbid you, Satan, to render aid, benefit, comfort, assistance, a hiding place, or cash to her in Jesus' name. Cut off her money. Amen. It's amazing how some of these senators and congressional leaders, they on their salary, how they're multimillionaires. It's because of the lobbyists. They're paid off by the lobbyists. But anyway, I'm not mad at them anymore. Remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. Amen. Confess your faults to one another and you'll be healed. So thank you, Lord, for healing. I am better, though. Praise God. And so sometimes I think that to be holy, I have to be a person that's turning the potter's wheel. I'm cranking up righteousness and holiness, right? Right? So you won't think I'm being legal. Actually, it's legalism when I'm trying to turn the potter's wheel. You know, being yielded to the potter is a picture of surrender, obedience to God, surrender and obedience, where people out there, there's these grace teachers, and it, praise God for his grace. It's all grace, or I'd be dead. You too. But it's really legalism to not be on the potter's wheel because you're trying to do it yourself. That's legalism. And, you know, I used to think to be holy that I had to read the Bible an hour a day, and that's a good thing. It's really the fruit of being yielded. I used to think that I had to pray an hour a day, read the Bible an hour a day. I had to tithe, had to go to church, experience the gift of the Spirit. And every day I was so disciplined, I did it. You could check my list off every day. And I was so self-righteous. Oh, my goodness. I knew it, but I didn't know why. And I'm always asking God, not why are you doing this, God, or what I'm doing. The minute I start getting some, I say, okay, God, what did I do? And praise God, I haven't been on any medication in almost 26 years. In 26 years. I did take an Advil last week, but it don't work. Besides, it was the trick of the devil to try to get me addicted to Advil. I thought, I have to take Advil the rest of my life. But but you know what the Lord showed me through that? If you, and of course, it really didn't help, but it maybe helped a little bit. What that does is if you don't feel the pain, you don't rebuke it, you don't look for answers, you just, it's arm of the flesh. The scripture says in Jeremiah 15, cursed is the man who makes flesh his arm, trust in man who makes flesh his arm. And so it masks over whatever God's trying to do. It's putting a band-aid on your spiritual problem. Praise the Lord. But I used to think to be holy, I had to keep my holy list. And on the day I didn't do my holy list, I felt condemned. I felt like a worm. You know what I'm saying? That is legalism. And then one day, I got a tape from a guy named Peter Lord. Have you ever heard of Peter Lord? Anyway, he taught a message called Turkeys and Eagles. Are you a turkey or an eagle? And in that message, he said, how righteous would you say you are? If you said from 1 to 10, how righteous would you say you are? I said, I am number 10. Because I was so self-righteous. Because I did my holy list every day. And so, but you know what? If I'd have said I'm a 1, I would have still been self-righteous because I was basing it on what I did every day instead of what God did. You see what I'm trying to say? So the clay on the potter's wheel only does one thing, and that's yield, and the potter does everything else. Now, in the Old Testament, God wouldn't take a sacrifice that was blemished. It had to be perfect, a perfect sacrifice. Well, I've got a problem. I'm not perfect, and neither are you. But when I get on God's altar, the potter's wheel, then the blood that's spilled out is the perfect blood of Jesus, and he don't look at my clay full of junk. He looks at his precious blood, that he is the worthy sacrifice. And so I don't want you to think when I talk about a message, die to the self, that I'm talking about you turning the potter's wheel. I'm talking about you dying and then letting the potter do the rest. And so everybody has their set of rules and regulations of what they think they have to do to be holy. And especially if you grew up in a family where you were taught to be performance oriented, then you get saved and you think you have to perform and turn that potter's wheel for God. But abiding in Christ means to die to yourself so that Christ can live through you and you'll produce much fruit, and it's his character and nature. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, Peter Lord said, your cross is not your husband, not your wife, not your mother-in-law, not your father-in-law, not your daughter-in-law, not your son-in-law, not your kids, not your bills. Your cross is anything any place that your will crosses God's will. And there again, if you don't know God's word, you won't know what you should do and what you shouldn't do. It means in every situation, I take sides against myself. Romans 12:1, present your body to God as a living sacrifice and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what most people do? They run and get psychiatric medicine. Present your body to God as a living sacrifice and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, all these shooters and all these things that happen, you never hear on the news that it's because they're under psychotropic drugs. The two main side effects of psychotropic drugs is suicide and homicide. And so that's the root of the problem. So when I die to myself, I'm putting my flesh aside. First of all, what is the flesh? Flesh is the earthly part of man, representing his lust and his desires. Ephesians 2:3 says, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. The flesh is that part of me which is inclined to sin. In the Greek, it's human nature with its frailties and passions. It is the earthly part of man apart from divine influence, and therefore prone to sin and opposed to God. Accordingly, it includes whatever in the soul that is weak, and your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, but includes whatever is in the soul that's weak, low, debased, tending to ungodliness and vice. The flesh signifies the entire nature of man, his sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. The flesh is contrary to the Spirit. In Galatians 5:17, it says, "For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you cannot do what you please." And there are grace teachers, and I teach God's grace. It's God's grace that helps you do anything. But there's grace teachers that teach you don't have to live out. You don't have to. You can do what you please because you're saved by grace. That's a lie right out of the pit of hell. That's a false doctrine. We can't do what we please. Those in the flesh, it says in Romans 8:8, cannot please God. Romans 8:13 says, "If you're living after the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And then he goes on to say, "For we have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but we've received the Spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're living under a spirit of slavery. You're living under a spirit of fear. And so if fear is in your life, that could be a reason. When we're alive to ourselves and when we are living in sin or after our flesh, we're saying to God, consciously or unconsciously, "I renounce the God who made me, and I disallow his right to govern me. I care not what he says to me, what his commandments are his commandments. I care not what he says to me, what commandments he's given me, or how he expostulates," means protests earnestly and tries to reason with me. "I prefer self-indulgence to his approval. I am indifferent to all that he has done in me and for me. His blessings and gifts move me not. I'm going to be Lord over myself." That's when we live in sin. That's what we're saying, consciously or unconsciously. You know, and perhaps this is the reason why that we don't hear God, because maybe God knows that even if we heard him, we wouldn't obey him. Or we wouldn't humble ourselves to lay aside our intellect to do what he said. And, you know, I have to be willing to listen. Jesus said over and over in the Word of God, "To him who has ears, let him hear." They all had ears. We all have ears, but do you have ears to hear? Or maybe if you did hear him, he knows you're not going to be obedient. You can't cast out the flesh. You have to die to it. And so what does it mean to offer up your body to God as a living sacrifice? It means to give up your life. Other words for it is deny yourself, total surrender, walk in the Spirit, choose your way over his way, say no to your plans and purposes, submit your will to his will. That's just some of the things it means. And every time you say no to your flesh and yes to God, you're offering God a sacrifice. Something that's helped me, and I haven't practiced it too much because I'm trying to now, but I kind of got off of it, but how I've lost weight in the last 5 or 6 years is not being on any special diet, but just when I want to eat something I know it shouldn't, before I change my mind, I'll say, "Lord, I give you that ice cream in the freezer as a sacrifice." I wouldn't dare take it back. Or the Lord showed me this one day. I was making fajitas, and I wanted 3, but the Lord said I could only have 2. And so, anyway, I listened to the Lord, and the minute I obeyed, it was like I didn't even want it. It's kind of like the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets me free from the law of sin and death. It's like the pull of sin is like the pull of gravity, like a plane taking off. You hear it sounds like every screw in that plane is going to fly out. The law of gravity is pulling it down. But when the plane gets to a certain other level, then the law of the Spirit takes over and the plane soars. Another law, the law of aerodynamics. And if that's the way it is, when the Spirit of life of Christ Jesus sets me free from the law of sin and death, I only suffer till I choose. And the minute you choose, the law of the Spirit takes you over and you don't want it. Anyway, I got away from that and probably gained about 10 pounds. And so now I'm back to doing that. I eat what I want, but what God tells me don't eat, I don't. David said in 1 Samuel 24:24, I will not offer anything as a sacrifice to the Lord that costs me nothing. That's paraphrased. Paul said, I die daily and I buffet my body to make it my slave. My flesh suffers when I forgive. My flesh suffers when I choose to not be angry. My flesh suffers when I choose to keep my mouth shut. That's a big one for me. My flesh suffers when I have to love somebody that's not lovable. Right? My flesh suffers when God says, give somebody $100, and I think, I can't really afford it. But then when you do, you're always glad. It's a sacrifice for you to discipline yourself, to get out of bed when you want to sleep. Your flesh suffers. I tell you, it's the suffering of the flesh to even get up around here at 4 o'clock. But you know what? We want to serve God, and if you can help somebody, you're in sin if you don't. It's a sacrifice for me to discipline myself and turn the TV off. And I want to just add something. If you're listening to movies and watching movies that are taking God's name in vain, and you wonder where those cuss words come from in your head, it's coming right out of the seeds that were planted through the movie. And I believe that the movies that people are watching today are so demonic. And I believe that they have neutralized the body of Christ. I really believe that. Because it's seed. God doesn't want us to live out of control, under the control of demons. It takes a sacrifice to produce fruit, because when I die, His fruits produce His character. And here are just a few reasons why I must be a living sacrifice or die to my flesh. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So, if my life is not producing the character and nature of Jesus, I come back under the law. 1 Timothy 1:8 says that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for murderers, adulterers, fornicators, effeminate, homosexuals, slanderers, gossips, and I'm paraphrasing. I probably left out some things. But then it says anything that's contrary to the law, to the word. In other words, any sin puts me back under the law if I'm not dead. The scripture says in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I come back under the law. And you know, in the physical, there's a judge, there's a courtroom, and there's an officer, right? Well, in the spirit realm, God's the judge. The officer is a demon power, and the prison is a spiritual prison. So when I come back under the law, demons are executors of God's law. When I violate God's law, then here comes the judge, here comes the officer, and there's the prison, the spiritual prison. You know, if I drive through Hot Springs and I drive the speed limit, I'm not under their law, their speeding law. But if I drive 80 miles an hour through Hot Springs, I come back under the law. And so the point I'm making is you don't come under the law until you violate God's law. And He's the judge. Another reason is I'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The scripture says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Another is that sin loses its power over you. In 1 Peter 4:1, it says, arm yourself with the same purpose, for as Christ suffered in the flesh, you suffer in the flesh, for in suffering sin loses its power. And I've discovered that when I want that ice cream, or that we have a lady in our church that makes pans of cinnamon rolls. Oh, they're so good. And I usually limit myself. I don't eat the whole pan, but I'll eat. The other day I asked the lady that does my nails, she said, those are the best cinnamon rolls I've ever tasted. I said, well, you want to buy another pan? She said, no! Because negotiate the whole pan in 2 days. But when I want that cinnamon roll that's beckoning me from the freezer. And I real quickly say, before I change my mind, Lord, I give that to you as a sacrifice. And I can tell you, I don't even want it after that. I wouldn't dare eat it after that. I can tell you, so when the Lord showed me this principle, I don't know how many years ago, 8 years ago, I guess, I can honestly say, every time I've given God that sacrifice, I fear God too much to try to take it back. And it works with alcohol, it works with drugs, it works with your pills, it works for any addiction you're trying to break. Because the minute you choose, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets you free from the law of sin and death. And you have self-control, because it's the fruit of Jesus, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Another thing is much fruit is produced when you do that. And then to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus, to not break covenant. In the Old Testament, you had to keep the letter of the law. In the New Testament, you have to love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, do this and you'll live. So the loving the Lord with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself fulfills all the commandments. You do that and you kept them all. And when you don't do that, you break covenant. And it says in Hebrews 9:17, a covenant is only valid when men are dead. So you're breaking covenant. If you're living after the flesh, you're constantly being a covenant breaker. And I can tell you, one of the consequences is sickness or arm problem, or whatever else your problem is. I'm not going to say the devil's attacked my arm. Can I tell you, the devil cannot do nothing God doesn't let him do. It's time we get our focus on God and off the devil and off his demons. And then we'll get sanctified and made holy, because that's how we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And I'm going to get Carla to read this because my eyes are healed in Jesus' name. Carla? I'm going to read something here to you.
I sacrificed my eyes to Jerry. Okay, are you going to move it for me?
Yeah.
Okay, dying to self. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and you don't sting and hurt with the insult, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinion ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patiently, loving silence. That is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder and irregularity or annoyance, when you stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensibility, and endure it as Jesus endured, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any climate, any society, any raiment, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own good words or itch after commandments, okay, good words or itch after commandments, then you can truly, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy or question God while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from one of less stature than yourself and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self.
Anyway, thank you, Carla. Carla is such a blessing. Lord, we ask you to bring her back quickly.
Amen.
She's been taking a little sabbatical from us. The question, you know, when I read that, I thought, Jerry McGee, you need to die to yourself. I'm still alive in too many areas, and you are too. But God is going to be faithful. So the question, are you dead yet? In these last days, the Lord wants to bring us to the place in Philippians 3:10 that we may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. So dying to self means you're alive in the Spirit. It means that God's power is being poured out towards you. It means you have self-control, you have faith, you have everything you need. And you're not ill-equipped. You're only ill-equipped when you try to do it yourself. Amen? So why don't you stand up and ask the Lord to show you what you need to die to. What you need to let go of. You know, I can say this with all my heart. The greatest desire that I'm sure a lot of y'all can say the same thing. My greatest desire in this whole world is that I please God and do what He wants me to do. And that when I stand before Him, He'll say, Jerry, well done, my good and faithful servant. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to miss what God has for me. And so you shouldn't either as a believer. And so think about your life. What are you doing with your life? God wants you to produce fruit. So Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Let me know the truth, Lord, that sets me free. What do I need to let go of? Where am I alive to myself? Where do I need to die to myself? And I really believe, you know, I'll say this before you're repenting. Years ago, I taught on being born again out in California, and there was about 200 people. And I said, Lord, I believe all these people think they're believers, but I know that they're not all saved. And I said, Lord, how do I teach people how to be born again? He said, teach them to die to their self. Because Jesus said, if any man's going to come after me, let him let go of his life, take up his cross, and follow me. So, Lord, if I'm one of these people today that has never been born again, that only has a head knowledge of you, and I've never become a new creation in Christ, I ask you to show me now, because, Lord, I choose to die. So show me what I need to die to, in Jesus' name. And then when you're through, if you'll sit down, we'll do deliverance. Father.
You're all seated here.
Okay. Yes, y'all pray for my eyes, okay?
Amen.
2020 vision.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Well, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Lord, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. I offer up to you my members as instruments of righteousness. I give you my will, that your will might prevail. Lord, forgive me that I've been too much alive to me. Forgive me that my purpose has been to please my flesh. Lord, I've been pressed down and defeated. And I haven't been able to say with Paul that all those bad things happened, but it didn't defeat me. And so, Lord, from this day forward, I want to carry about in my body the dying of Jesus so that your life might be manifested in my mortal flesh. God, forgive me for thinking that I'm just incapable of serving you. Forgive me for being afraid you're going to make me a missionary. Forgive me, Lord, for being afraid I'll be called weird or religious fanatic. You know what a religious fanatic is? Someone that loves Jesus more than you do. That's what one is. Lord, forgive me for thinking that I'm not smart enough. I'm not equipped. I'm not up to the task to serve you. Forgive me for thinking I'm not a minister. Lord, when you called me, I'm your workmanship. You created me in Christ Jesus unto good works. And you prepared the good works for me before I was even born. I'll ask you a question. Have you been fulfilling those good works? Because are you living for the temporal or the eternal? Lord, I ask you to forgive me for living for the temporal value system instead of the eternal mindset. Forgive me for living down here on this earth like this is where it's at. Forgive me for not living for eternity that's forever and ever and ever and ever without end. It ends down here, but it doesn't end in eternity. So forgive me, Lord. God, I just repent. Forgive me for having my eyes on men and women and not on you. Lord, forgive me for not bearing fruit that you might be glorified. Forgive me for not doing what you say so that you could say I was your friend. Lord, I thank you that you're living in me is my hope of glory. And because when I choose death to myself so that you can take me over and be everything that I have been lacking. You lack nothing. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Lord, I pray that you bring me to the place, if I'm not there already, with Paul, that says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Forgive me for not being willing to die daily, probably or monthly. Lord, I give up what I've been hanging on to. I give up my mate. I give up my home. I give up my finances. I give my children, my grandchildren, my descendants, my daughter-in-law, my son-in-law. I let them go. But all I ask, God, is that you make them love you with your whole heart. That's all I want. And Lord, forgive me. For not being willing to lay aside the old self that's been corrupted. I take off the old man and I put on the new. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. With love, joy, peace. Suffering, gentleness, goodness. Faith, meekness. Self-control. Forgive me for not walking in holiness and righteousness. Forgive me for being legalistic and in rebellion to you, trying to turn the potter's wheel to make myself into something instead of letting you do it. Thank you, Lord. Turning the potter's wheel's been wearing me out. Thank you that you want me to rest. I take your yoke on my neck and I learn from you. For you're gentle and humble, and I'll find rest for my soul. For your burden is light and your load is easy. And thank you that your yoke breaks off everybody else's yoke. My yoke. My mate's yoke, my children's yoke, my pastor's yoke, every yoke of bondage, your yoke breaks off. And I thank you. Lift your hand to heaven and ask God, Lord, I receive your yoke from heaven. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Lord, I just let go of all my ideas of what I, you can put them down now, all my ideas of what I have to do to be holy. And I forgive my mother and father that they only loved me a little bit when I performed. And Lord, I choose to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow you. And I thank you that my cross is not my daughter-in-law, my son-in-law, my kids, my mate. Lord, forgive me that my will has crossed your will. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for the lust of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh, being a child of wrath. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you and praise you. That I don't have to do anything but yield. You do the rest.
And you do the rest.
That's a relief. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus
praise
name.
You, Lord.
Praise
bless
Lord.
You, Lord. Lord, I take accountability for the sins of my forefathers who lived after their flesh. I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through forefathers who lived after the flesh. In the name of Jesus, I forgive my parents for not teaching me to let go of my life. I forgive them that they didn't know it. I forgive them that because they weren't submitted to you, I was just born outside of your refuge. You picture God's refuge like a big umbrella, and your mother and father are under God's refuge. And if they were out there outside of God's refuge, then you were born out there. And that's the Bible says the law arouses in me sinful passions. So that's where addictions are out there. Get back under here and the addictions leave. Bless the Lord. Lord, forgive me for being addicted. Forgive me for not walking in the Spirit. God, forgive me for not putting to death the deeds of the flesh. And Lord, I just praise you for deliverance. I praise you for the truth that sets me free. I ask you to stick it your word in my heart that I never forget. And Lord, I forget sometimes I'm in the flesh. I pray that every time I get in the flesh, you'll remind me and I'll let it go. In Jesus' name. I break soul ties with all my forefathers. I call back my soul and human spirit from them and send back their souls and human spirits back to them. And I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now every demonic spirit that came in, all fleshly ideas have to go. All human intellect, humanism has to go now in Jesus' name. I break the power of fear, torment, unbelief, doubt, lies, lying. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power. Lord, I ask your mighty Holy Spirit fall upon all of your people in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I command fear of letting go, fear that God's going to give them the worst. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of it. I break the power of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, addictions. I break yokes of bondage off of people's necks in the name of Jesus. I break self-inflicted yokes, yokes of husband, wife, parents. I break in Jesus' name. I break the power of witchcraft control. You have to go. I break the power of divination. You have to leave. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of all spells and potions. You have to go. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of selfishness and pride and idolatry. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of arm of the flesh. In Jesus' name, I break the power of vexation, sickness, distress, disease, affliction. I break the power of anger, bitterness, grief, sorrow, sadness, depression, despair, hopelessness. Go now in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. You come off of them, out of them in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Antichrist spirits, rebellion, stubborn, stiff neck. Come out now in Jesus' name. Fear of letting go, I break your power. Fear of letting go of addictions, I break your power. Every lie that I need certain things to function, go now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Take a deep breath and blow out in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Spirits of horror and fantasy, all the demons that came in through evil movies, we pull down that root and pluck out in Jesus' name. All spirits of nausea, sickness, distress, disease, cancer has to go. Blindness, cataract, glaucoma, go now in Jesus' name. You come out of them. Take a deep breath. Go out. Out in Jesus' name. You come out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of fear, we break your power in the name of Jesus. Come out. Passivity, apathy, religious spirit, Pharisee spirit, every lying spirit, come out. Lies and lying, we break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. You come out. All spirits of fear of man, fear of failure, fear of confrontation, fear of abandonment, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Fear my husband will leave. I break the power of it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, all fear has to go. In Jesus' name, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, passivity, apathy, come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power. All spirits that came in through Trindaros, out in the name of Jesus. All spirits that came in through doctors, come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power. Praise you, mighty God. Bless self-pity. Come out now in Jesus' name. All spirits that keep them from overcoming. All spirits that cause them just to live their life in running around in circles. Go now in Jesus' name. All lying spirits have to go. All spirits that have deceived them about their situation. Get out now in Jesus' name. Go now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of loving pleasure, fantasy, incubus, succubus, spirits of sexual adultery, spirits of fornication, lewdness, wanton spirits, come out now. All spirits of addictions to pornography, addictions to TV, addictions to movies, addictions to drugs, addictions to alcohol, all demons that came into psychiatric medicine, in Jesus' name, spirits of suicide and death, come out now in the name of Jesus. We break your power. Spirits of homicide, spirits that came into wanting to die, I break your power in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. You are the mighty King, Master of everything. Your name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Give Jesus a praise. Praise Him. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We love you. And we'll see you, well, in the morning. Don't forget to come to the prayer meeting. 6:00.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.